And welcome to the HalfGuard.com Power. I'm your host, Mitch Pomp, my co-host, Dan Ford. How you doing, Dan?
I'm trucking.
We got a busy week. I want to hop to it. Let's start with the biggest story of the week, and that's Pizza Hut replaces Papa John's as the NFL sponsor. Dan, let's cut to the heart of the matter. Will the NFL ever get a good pizza as their sponsor?
Well, is there any good fast food pizza?
No, but, like, Little Caesars is, like,
terrible.
Woke, but they're woke.
They are woke. I mean, he did help fund Rosa Parks.
He's literally, and like, he funds like a lot, or he's dead now, but I think this season, he's like very like leftist in his ways. As leftist as like a billionaire pizza owner can be. You know what, maybe they should just go with like a local chain, really promoted it hard, like
IP3, Chapel Hill.
Yeah, alright, someone suggested Hungry Howie's. I think that was.
I love Hungry Howie's.
So good. But I don't know if it's good or if I'm just drunk every time.
That crust, I'm saying it's good.
It's not bad. But, like, what would have been, like, the worst pizza spot? Because Pizza Hut, to me, is almost like a step up for the NFL. That's a better brand name than Papa
John's. See, I like Papa John's better than Pizza Hut.
I hate Papa John's. Pizza Hut's got stuffed crust. You can't beat that.
Yeah, but it's too expensive. I can never afford it.
Yeah, it's like $40.
It's like $40 for a stuffed crust pizza. I'm not doing that.
And you can add, like, pepperoni to it. It's like $100.
It's like $100 for a slice of pie.
Who would have been the worst sponsor?
Godfather's Pizza. Do they still
exist? Like the gas station pizza, right? Like, that should have been the...
Like, the Hunt Brothers. I'm not eating a Hunt Brothers pizza. I don't care if they are the official pizza that I need express written permission to enjoy from the NFL. I'm not eating the Hunt Brothers.
But I, for one, am very excited about the Pizza Hut NFL partnership. What about you, Dan?
I'm excited for all Yum brands.
Also, Dan, we're gonna touch on it real quick. There's a lot of you see all the NFL news that kind of dropped today.
Hit me with it.
All right, remember Mike Glennon, your boy?
Yeah.
Signed that big contract with the Bears. Everyone assumed that he would just stay 3 years because no one understands how the NFL works. He was cut 1 year, $16 million.
That was
it worked, but like it didn't kill you. So.
But that's what everybody gets mad about NFL. Oh, I can't believe you signed such and such for such and such. It's like, dude, nobody gets paid what their contract says they're going to get paid. The NFL's a joke.
Like, you got to get that guaranteed number. And even that's, like, not the true amount they're going to get paid at the time. Yeah, you have that. Your boy, Jonathan Stewart, from the Panthers, got released today.
Long time guy, been there for a long time. He's also an old running back. And, you know, they drafted Christian McCaffrey last year.
Yeah. I expect to see him land on the Bills. Other Matt Forte, former Tulane superstar, and I believe his whole time in the league, he has the most yards from scrimmage of any other player.
He's also very, very old.
Yeah, but Matt Forte is he a borderline Hall of Famer?
I would definitely say he's on that cusp, and
like you don't think he doesn't have like the name test to me, but then you look at the numbers and it's like, well, he was literally one of the best of his era, and like was the you know, the all-purpose running back. You know, it wasn't all, you know, on the ground. But
I also wonder...
Kind of two-age, kind of, from scrimmage running back.
I also wonder how many running back... Like, going forward, is there going to be any running back who surpasses him? Because, like, in the future, how many running backs are going to put up the kind of numbers to get Hall of Fame consideration?
Yeah, with that kind of... Like, well, it's probably like Le'Veon Bell might be the real last one of a guy who just gets major usage. And, like, that's because Le'Veon Bell would be a good wide receiver, as well as a running back. That's why he's the best in the game. But yeah, that was some of the news. I think the NFL year starts tomorrow, March 1st, as of recording. Look out for some more wackiness there. Also, Dan, the combine started today. Your favorite event.
Yeah, when we get to hear about who's got the biggest bubble, and, you know.
Who can do all these things that don't really reflect on how you play?
You know what the bubble is, right? Like, you know when you hear the combine people talking about bubbles.
Is that like when you blow and is that when they... I don't know what the bubble is.
Oh, no, that's talking about linemen's ass. The bubble is literally their ass. Like, this lineman's got a good bubble. This lineman doesn't have a good bubble. This lineman's got a bubble that can really form a good base. This lineman, you know, doesn't have much of a base. You know, you got a flat ass.
I'm most looking forward to this the most, Dan. That's Rich Eisen running the 40. You get that every year.
A yearly tradition. 1 year I'd like him to actually wear, like, fucking running clothes instead of always doing it in a...
I like it in a suit because you always use it for promos. It's like, look at Rich Eisen running to work. But that's a tradition unlike any other game.
It's much better than the Masters, that's for sure.
But let's go to, I want to do the deep dive into the big story this week, Dan. And that is the ongoing NCAA scandal. I don't think we really need to recap it for you. You kind of know what's going on. It's been in the news. So, Dan, I want to jump to, what are some of our solutions for fixing this problem? And not just college, but college athletics, you know. And let's just go with paying the players. Probably ain't going to work out just because of the margins I don't know what I'm looking for. But the kind of like the low margins these smaller schools have. If they had to pay their players, they wouldn't be able to have a lot
well,
of sports.
Well, the answer is that we have to split divisions. And the sport, the ones that actually are playing major college athletics split off and pay their players the portion of the funds that they're all making. And if you can't afford to get in on that, or you're in a conference that doesn't actually make that much money, then you go play at a lower level.
Dan, I think there's a better solution, and that is let the players own their rights to their image again. So if
but like even if you do that, like UCF is not going to be able to compete with Michigan and Alabama as far as being able to market.
Maybe not. You know. Maybe not, but maybe they can get some more fringe guys to say, well, we can market you better than Alabama. Because when you come to UCF, your jersey sales might be more here than they would be at Alabama. Because you're competing with all these other things there. We're going to push you on the billboards and all that stuff. We're going to get the sponsorships of the car dealerships and all that. I think a smaller colleges could do well with something like that if they kind of were creative about how they were going to market their players. And I think that's probably the solution. I think there's a two-pronged solution to all of this. One's to let the players own their likeness again. Duh. Two, with college basketball, go to the baseball system. You can declare, go to the NBA, maybe go to the G League for a year.
That's only going to work if the NBA changes the rules. Like, some of this is the NBA.
The NBA wants to change the rules.
Well, the NBA could change it tomorrow.
Well, they can't. Well, they have to get the owners to vote on it.
I know, but, like, see, obviously, we're always, like, pro play NBA, like we are in the tank for the NBA. But one of the things that when it comes to college sports,
we're in
the
NBA
side. Like when there's a lot of disingenuousness from the NBA people when they talk about college athletics. And I feel like there's not enough people who would more or less normally agree with us on things who aren't honest about what, like, why did the NBA put the one and done rule in? It was done to fuck with college basketball. Yeah. Like, period. Like, the NBA considers themselves, like, the difference between the NBA and the NFL is the NFL looks at college football as a partner that markets talent and helps develop talent for them to eventually use. The NBA looks at college basketball as an enemy that fights in the marketplace for the same viewers. Yeah. And they treat college basketball like an enemy that they must defeat. And how do you do that? Well, you undermine their ability to have good basketball by having this one-and-done system where players come in for 1 year, get marketed for 1 year, but aren't there long enough to, like, actually become long-term stars and aren't there long enough to have good teams built around them. And you do everything you can. You know, anytime college basketball comes up in the news, you crap on the NCAA and say it's, you know, a disgrace, like most of the NBA players have been doing. Like, it's the one thing that you can get NBA players and owners to agree on because, like, yeah, they all know the scoop. Like, they're at war with college basketball for ratings. So I think that'd be a thing that people should bring up a little bit, like when LeBron shits on the NCAA and college basketball. It's like, well, they are competitors. Like, it's not exactly coming out of nowhere that he said that the NCAA is terrible and shit and should suck shit and die.
But I do think the solution is going to have to be, I think the NBA is going to be all for it once they, it might be another, I would have thought of it in like a 2 to 3 year process. It might be a lot quicker because of the scandal. But I think getting every team a G League affiliate where they can send their players there, you can send an 18-year-old on the road, still earns his dues, he's not flying on the luxury jets, but kind of learns how to be a man on the road. You know, a little bit better than a college program can do.
I mean, the reality is you've got to have a similar system to baseball where, you know, like you say, you can either come out of high school or you go to 3 years to college.
You can go ahead and own someone's rights for 3 years. Or whatever. Is that how they kind of do college?
Yeah. You can draft a guy and he goes back and then he goes back into the draft if you don't sign him.
But yeah, like it could be like if you get drafted and you're like, well, shit, I don't want to go to Toronto. Maybe you go to Duke instead. Maybe.
Well, that's a big thing between year three and four is that you always have that leverage where you could go back for your senior year if they don't give you a good, like, because when that doesn't exist in the NBA, and it would probably, you know.
Yeah, NBA would be all about where you go, but I think most kids will take, I think the NBA minimum for a rookie is like, the lottery, it's like $5 million. It goes up to $8 by the end. Most guys are going to take that money. That's good money, you know.
Yeah, well, the difference is that you at least you used to be able to negotiate your signing bonuses in baseball, which doesn't exist in the NBA. You get like a rookie contract and it's take it or leave it. But like they used to be able to use like when you come out in your junior year coming out of college or when you're coming out of high school and when they draft you, if you don't like what they offer you, you literally just, okay, I'm just going to college then because this deal isn't good enough. Which is good for players.
Well, I think the best solution too is also, you know, if you coupled kind of our baseball solution to basketball, if you couple that in with letting the players own their rights, like maybe, and you know, maybe you put a cap on what they can make. Maybe you cap it at like $100,000.
Well, there's just gotta be a system where people get paid like a flat, like there has to be like some compensation for everybody on the team that they all make.
Paid with an education.
Yeah, okay. I mean like real pay, like that you can buy groceries and buy a house with.
Yeah, and I think you can, well, I think if you do that, though, you'd have to also set it where every school has to pay the same wage.
Well, yeah, you would have like everybody on the team makes this same amount of money that's like a portion of revenues.
Like $5,000 a year, I could, even if it's a, you know, a poor big family, that's going to help the family a lot. 20, that's a lot of money to poor, you know? To a working class, you know, family.
I mean, it could be the difference between being able to make a house payment and being unable to. So, yeah. Like, you give flat fee to, like, everybody on the team, which is, like, all right, you set aside, like, 10% or 20% or 30% of football revenues, and you divide that up amongst the players, and they all get the same share. And then the kids, you know, who can go get endorsements, go get endorsements.
Yeah. Like, I think about the guy, I'm blanking on his name, but the guy from Auburn who declared early, I don't think he got drafted, but because his mom was like homeless, basically, you know, and like, why can't he just sign some footballs for a booster and like be able to get his mom an apartment?
I love when people act like it's bad that boosters want to give kids money, like,
yeah.
Or the other big thing is you have to allow guys to be able to get agents whenever they want to. Like, it's ridiculous that you tell like grown ass men they can't get a lawyer to go look through like. Possible, you know, to represent them as early as possible. Because the big bullshit about that is they act like, well, we got to keep these shysters away from from young people. We got to protect them. It's like, well, you're not. You're just giving an advantage to the shyster as the most shystery shysters in the bunch because they're just going to ignore your rule.
Yeah.
Well, and dudes who might have the morals or the decency to not break rules. They're just not going to get involved, and then, okay, that means it's literally just the shysters.
And that circles back to, like, the bigger problem with this issue. Like, people are like, just be tougher. It's like, well, that doesn't work. Schools are going to cheat. You have to, any regulation or reform you make to the NCAA right now, you have to go with the mindset of, they're going to cheat no matter what. So what can we do that's not a punishment that stops it? Because they don't care about the punishment.
I know a lot
of... you think Louisville really cares their title was taken away? Like, no. They won it. It doesn't matter. They made their money.
This is where I let my capitalism out, and you know, you kick me out of leftism. But like, there's certain undeniable things about a free market that like you can hold up your hand and pretend aren't going to happen. But that's just life. It's going to happen whether you want it to or not.
Yeah, or like, there's not a moral hand, guy. It's not a natural thing, the free market. Like, there's always these other factors involved that will fuck up whatever your plans are.
Like, well, it gets back to, like, a bunch of people who claim that they love capitalism and love free markets. When you actually confront them with, well, this is what the market actually says, they suddenly start, like, there's all these, like, Republican, well, I shouldn't call people out. There's all these people who love college athletics and don't want to pay players, where if you went through their political issues on other subjects, they probably would lean more conservative on more issues than not, but then it's suddenly when you start talking about college athletics, it's like they suddenly turn into a bunch of Marxists. And it's like, you can like tell me all you want that you don't think it's right that, you know, these players should just play for the university. But like the reality is the market has dictated that there's this much money that people are willing to pay to get the best possible team for their college. You know, they're willing to pay coaches all this money. They're willing to pay administrators. You know, we're seeing this in college football where basically every major team has like an army of assistant coaches who can't, you know, of like analyst coaches, like that they're willing to spend the money to have like 30 dudes sitting and breaking down film all day. You know, obviously there's all this money going around and you're just denying it to the players for no reason other than you just want to keep up this pretense.
Yeah, you want to keep up like this happy-go-lucky, this like vision of college sports that you
say has not existed from the 60s, for at least 50 years.
But then the hard, and the hard truth is, like, I was just reading an article, I think SB Nation wrote it, like the first college event ever, the first, intercollegiate event in the NCAA history, a rowing contest, had cheating. Like, since the beginning of the NCAA or college, you know, whatever, there's been cheating. There's been cheating in college forever. You know, like, the fucking Gipper was on the take. You know, that's the hard truth.
All of these early college football teams had paid players.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
A lot of times just had, because you could get away with this shit back then, which is like a guy from the NFL, they just put like a hat on.
I mean, literally, because you, like, there's no way to, like, verify anything. So, yeah. Like, the entire, like, Notre Dame starting lineup was just, like, a bunch of dudes in their 30s. Like, thing that built, like, a lot of these state universities post-World War II is what they would do is they just load up on vets. And give them quote-unquote scholarships. They would never actually go to school because there was no way to verify it. And like, but they would give these dudes scholarships to come play football, and that's how Oklahoma became a powerhouse.
Yeah, so like, I think that these people who look at these like rosy ideals of like, well, this is how college used to be. It's like, no, it never was that.
It never was. And there's also this like inability to understand why amateurism exists. The entire concept of amateurism was invented to keep poor kids out of college athletics and to keep poor kids out of the Olympics.
Yeah.
Because like, well, if we only let strict amateurs play sports, then the poor kids who actually have to get a paycheck to be able to afford to do this won't be able to play.
Yeah, I hate the whole concept of it. Like, I thought the Olympics has kind of eased off on this, with the amateurism.
Well, eventually, and that's what people kills me when they if you get rid of this, then nobody's going to watch it anymore. It's like, it did nothing to affect the Olympics. All of this shit that people say now about college sports, everybody said the same thing about the Olympics, and it did not change a thing.
No, and if you look at how for basketball...
If anything, the Olympics got more popular because they started seeing better athletes competing.
Yeah, like if you watch the Winter Olympics this year, it was probably so much better because those skiers and those snowboarders were more or less professionals who compete. And, like, that's what I want. I think anybody who watches the Olympics, that's what we want to see. I don't want to see some 18-year-old who, like, never practices represent my country. I want to see the best. I want to see how the best American does against the best.
And, you know, obviously college football will never be, like, you'll never have the same caliber of players in college football that you have in the NFL. You'll never have the same caliber of players in college basketball that you have in NBA. Same's true of baseball. But there's a lot of sports where there isn't a pro sports league, where if they were allowed to pay the guys to come do it, like, amateur wrestling might actually get popular if they could just straight up pay the dudes to do it.
You remember when they tried to make it, like, a thing, like, almost 20 years ago on, like, Fox Sports Network?
Well, I remember when they did the real wrestling.
That's what it was.
That's where Daniel Cormier first got famous, was being on real professional wrestling.
Yeah. And, like, no one wants... There's also, like, here's the hard truth with, like, that type of... It's really boring. Unless you're, like a 50-year-old. Unless you're, like, Jim Ross or something.
Well, the only people who watch amateur wrestling are, like, Midwestern.
Yeah. Are, like, pedophiles.
Like, dudes from Iowa fucking love amateur wrestling.
But there's nothing else to do in Iowa. What are you going
to
do?
That's all they have to be proud of.
What are you going
to
do besides drink, wrestle with your buddy, and, like, suck a dick?
Well, I love...
What you do
I love that all of these colleges in the Midwest, like, have these, like, 100-year-old amateur wrestling programs that are still elite today, all because, like, Frank Gotch was really popular in the tens. And it's like, nobody ever told them that, like, Frank Gotch was fake. It was just some phony fucking pro wrestler. They thought he was real, and so they started amateur wrestling programs because of him.
But yeah, I want to shift gears, but, like, I think, before we kind of wrap up our NCAA discussion, I think we're in agreement here, though. I think the solution is almost like a two-pronged solution, if you will. Number one, for NBA, get rid of one and done. It's either you're in or you're out for 3 years. And then on top of that, every NCAA athlete should be allowed to use their likeness to make money.
Absolutely.
Because that way, even if you're a girl, like a good softball team can get like some free shit, you know? Like,
I think absolutely. People act like a Title IX is such this huge hindrance without realizing that, like, the amateur softball team is so much more popular and so brings in so much more revenue. The college softball team has such bigger gates, has so many more people watching it than, like, track and field.
Or
men's soccer. Nobody watches baseball men's soccer on campus.
But then there are some schools where women's softball is bigger than men's baseball.
Definitely up north. Up north, definitely.
Well, and it depends if that program's high. Like, if you look at, like, even like at Auburn right now, softball is arguably a little bit bigger than baseball at Auburn because the softball program has been great.
Yeah.
And, like, why can't those girls, like, be on commercials selling a car? Well, local TV. Like, we're not talking about major money. It's probably a couple thousand here and there, but that's a lot to an 18. So I think giving every athlete the right to use their likeness is the way to go.
People have a right to make a living off of themselves and their abilities.
Because the thing is, Dan, if you're a college kid on scholarship, you can still go sell yourself, you know? Like,
I mean, there's nobody who says, hey, you'll lose your scholarship if you go become a stripper.
Yeah, or you'll lose your scholarship if you make a YouTube video because you're famous from a paper you did. Or if you're on a music scholarship, we don't say you can't put out an album.
It's all these different rules for the athletes, and you can't ignore the racial component that, like, all these other kids you're talking about are rich white kids, so of course they're allowed to do whatever they want to make money.
Yeah, well, to me, Dan, it's like more of a class component, and it's just like...
There's a lot of, like... When you come down to these conversations, there's a whole lot of, what more do you want? We've let you in our building.
Yeah.
Like, why are you asking for more? Don't you realize how lucky you are that we even let you in the building?
But I think giving the players back their right to sell their image also, like, kind of gets rid of guys leaving too early to go make money. Because you can do it in college, so maybe you can become a more well-rounded player, or just person, or whatever. That's the easiest.
Get a degree. I mean, they all talk about, well, you've got to get a degree. You know, college education is worth something. Well, none of these guys are able to get a degree on time because you only let them take 12 hours. You know, you only let them take the minimum number of hours during the season. And if you're playing college basketball, that means you've got to take 12 hours in the fall and you got to take the minimum number of hours in the spring. So when are you supposed to take enough hours to be on time to graduate? Yeah. What do you got to do? Take 24 hours in the summer?
Well, and the hard truth is, like, especially with, like, the bigger sports in college, a lot of these guys come from, like, poor working backgrounds where, like, the family might need some help. You know, that's just the truth, where you got single mother, single father, you know, one-parent households, whatever. So, like I said, the easiest solution, NCAA will probably never do it, easiest solution, let all the players have rights to their likeness. Make money. That jersey with their number on it, they get money. Put the name on the back.
Yeah. They should get 50% of jersey sales.
Yeah. And I don't think their schools can pretend to have clowns, but they won't. And boosters will be happy because then they can openly, you know, pay this guy, you know, $5,000 to come hang out at their charity event.
Well, what I don't get is when schools like Michigan or Alabama are fighting this. Like, A, you're making tons of money. Why is it so infuriating to you that you cut out a portion of it to go to the kids? But two, you would never have to worry about competing with South Florida ever again. You have way more money than them.
Yeah. And if you're in South Florida, you can say, well, maybe I can be creative to get this guy to come here because I can say, I'm going to market you better than Alabama because you're going to be a small fish in a big pond in Alabama. You come to UCF, we got you on billboards. You're doing commercials for us.
We're gonna give you your own car dealership.
Yeah. So, when you put things out in the open like that, then a school like UCF, like, suddenly that advantage that Alabama has with these schools, because Alabama's gonna cheat, Michigan, all, whatever you want, these big schools are gonna kind of cheat the system as is. They have an advantage regardless. Kind of opening up the door to this allows, to me, smaller schools to gain it. Because then, like I said, you can market players and go, listen, you go to Alabama, you're going to get swallowed up. You come here, you know, we got you everywhere. We got bobbleheads of you that you're going to make money of. I just think it's the easiest solution. It's just like, why don't you just give them their right? You don't have to fucking pay them a wage. They could make their money on their own most of the time, you know? I think that's the easiest solution where you don't have to do anything whatsoever to really change the game in college. All it does is just shed light on what's already going on. I mean, who was the guy? Was it Todd Gurley at Georgia got suspended like a couple of years ago for signing football?
Yeah.
Why? Stupid.
Well, in the NCAA, you don't even own your own name.
Yeah. And that's the ridiculous part. And that's the easiest solution for the NCAA, because getting to a point where them and the NBA can't kind of come to an agreement, I mean, college basketball is not going to die, but it's gonna be like a one-month thing for most people, I think.
Well, I mean, it's already heading that way. Yeah. It's like, this is just a thing.
It's like how baseball is in college.
Yeah, where like they're slowly becoming more and more like the College World Series.
Which is fine, because like March Madness and the conference tournaments will always be moneymakers. But you're slowly getting to a point where you're not even going to get good players in there anymore.
Right, because...
they're just going to go to the G League.
Yeah, you know? The reason why you can't draw ratings in the regular season to watch college basketball is because nobody knows who the players are. The tournament's over, but, you know, the players aren't. And when the players aren't, then you can't draw... You can't, like, just draw for, like, a Wednesday night college basketball game. Because the reason why people will watch, like, a Wednesday night NBA game is to see LeBron. Yeah. Or to see,
and, like, in college,
know,
but two Chris stars, Paul. They're going to be gone next year. You're not watching them grow. That's why Danny Gobak, the baseball solution, it makes more sense for basketball than it even does for baseball in some ways. Because then basketball can market a guy for 3 years, you know? Maybe you get an Aiden that comes in and says, yeah, I want to develop my game for 3 years, and then you have something to build off of. So I think that's the two-pronged solution. That, to me, that fixes all the problems. 100% would fix every problem the NCAA has. Give the players their rights back, fix the NCAA-NBA dilemma, you know?
But the issue is that you just can't get these old dudes in these college presidencies and these college athletic directors and the people running NCAA. Like, for so long, they've had this, like, endless feedback loop of journalists, of college administrators, of people who work in TV, like, telling them what they want to hear. Like, they literally have no, they're literally completely cut off with reality. Like, I don't really know of any other way to put it besides
yeah,
that.
Because the hard reality is literally everyone's cheating. In any sport of any consequence, people are cheating. Like, I guarantee UConn's women's basketball, if you dug deep, they're probably cheating, you know? And it's just the truth, you know? I don't know how else to put that. Like, every college is cheating in NCAA right now. Let's shed light on it. Let's embrace the cheating almost. Make it legal. That was like legalizing drugs, Dan. Just make it legal and it won't be bad anymore.
There are certain things you can control. There are certain things you can't control. You can't control, like, adults willing to give each other money to perform a service.
Yeah, and you can't control what, like, rich, powerful people are going to do because they're not going to listen to rules. So change the rules to not make them as powerful.
It is what you know. But this is something that's literally going to be, like, there's only one way this happens within 20, 30 years. And the only way that happens is if the FBI successfully, like, brings down, like, every blue blood program and forces them.
I feel like this might be the turning point, right? I think
the only way it happens is if so many blue bloods get in trouble that those programs decide, look, either we all take, like, 5-year bowl, like, NCAA bans, or we just start our own thing without the NCAA there.
And then we'll get college football video games back. I think that's the big key, too, here, Dan. This is how we get NCAA football back.
Everybody who works in college football acknowledges that they desperately need to get that game back, and it's all, like, administrators and college people who are like, oh, it'll hurt our chances to keep amateurism. Yeah, like, everybody involved in college football realizes they need that college football game to market the sport.
I don't think they get, like, that's how you grow the fan base. Because, like, you'll get kids who play that game who maybe never would have watched football, but they like that, they'll start watching. That game was, to me, so... That and Madden were so important to football success in the last 20 years. And to an extent, we can get into it, but, like, NBA 2K, to me, is part of the reason the NBA does so well.
Yep.
You have this great selling game, and you get to know the players, you see faces, you see teams. That shit helps, especially when you've got a bunch of, when you've got a million teenage boys playing that shit from, from as soon as they can till even now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's impossible to market to like the younger generation without a video game.
Yeah, I know that sounds like so like 90s and but it's just kind of with sports is 100%. I mean, maybe we should take a deep dive and do some research, but you could maybe even argue that USC's recent decline is because all the video games sucked dick.
I mean, they didn't have a good video game until Unleashed, and Unleashed is not great. But it was,
yeah, and even now the EA games are not poorly, kind of poorly received.
I don't know why they changed UFC 3 so much from UFC 2.
I didn't even play it, so.
I love UFC 2, and UFC 3, like, I think the career mode is deeper and better and, more fun in a lot of ways, but, like, they changed the gameplay so much.
Are there any dumb unlockables?
I mean, not that I've noticed.
Because, like, what was it like in the old EA boxing game? There'd always be, like, a random ass person.
You can wear Muhammad Ali's shorts now. And it's like, great. I want to wear a pair of fucking plain white shorts. Great. That's exactly what I want as a 9-year-old.
Well, because people forget this, but Ready to Rumble Boxing is the GOAT boxing game. A lot of people say Punch Out. Fuck Punch Out. It's only good because it was the only boxing game you had when you were like.
Here's what I say. Fuck Punch Out. Super Punch Out was the game.
Ooh.
For the Super Nintendo. That was the truth.
Give me Ready to Rumble Boxing, Dan. That was the best.
Super Punch Out had all the guys who were good from Punch Out, but actually fun. Plus new guys who were fun.
I was reading somehow like you couldn't make Punch Out today because of like all the stereotypes. Because it was like what, like a drunk Russian, like a Chinaman with like a hat.
there was an old Chinese martial artist who would like do the drunken kung fu where it's like, ooh, ooh,
ooh. Well, what do they call it? Old man kung fu?
The
Larry Zbysko kung fu, which, but yeah, let's get into one thing before we maybe jump to the bullpen here, Dan. I want to talk baseball back. Do we care?
I'll say yes because I got to talk to Seth later.
Okay, but you tell me. Seth's not listening.
No.
I'm kind of half excited. I don't know why. I'm more excited because baseball is just such a great do-nothing sport. Where you're kind of laying, you're sitting outside on the porch, you're throwing a game, you listen to it. It doesn't matter, but it's just a good time passing. So I'm pretty hyped for that, Dan. Have something to listen to on the radio besides like your podcast. So with that said, Dan, are you ready to jump into the bullpen here?
I'm ready.
All right, let's jump in.
And welcome, everyone, back to the bullpen with Seth Simmons. How you doing, Seth?
Doing well, Dan. How are you?
We're just going to pretend like this isn't our fourth to record this show.
Yeah, we're just gonna make believe.
We're just gonna power on through. But I am a devotee of truth above all things. I cannot lie to you. But yeah, we've had a little bit of technical difficulty. It's gonna work. We swear it. Seth, biggest issue this week seems to have been the FBI investigating college sports. Apparently, a lot of people are shocked, I see, to find out that there's money exchanged to get top-end college football and basketball to come to universities.
Can't believe it.
I mean,
never happened before. There's never been ever in the history of NCAA to get the ban, the death penalty. SMU.
Yeah.
Never happened before. Eric Dick a pay cut to go to the NFL.
Well, yeah, and it's also like, oh, man, what are we going to do? My favorite argument against paying the players is like, but what will happen when these first? And it's like, oh boy.
Yeah, they never were.
Oh boy. you perfect child.
Newsflash. I was a baseball player. That's not close to a big sport in college. Guess what I went to school to do? I went to go play baseball. I didn't go to ECU to go to school. I did what I had to do to be eligible to get myself to the next level. If I wouldn't have gotten myself to the next level, you know what I would have done? I would have finished school a year later than everybody else. Whoopty freaking do.
Well, okay, that brings up an interesting topic that I don't hear enough people talking about. They talk about student athlete, but tell people what your academic schedule is like when you're a Division One athlete.
All right, so we'll start off with what the athletic schedule looks like, and then we'll just fit academics in there. So practice for us started around 2:30 in the afternoon every single day. There's not a day off. Fall, what I mean, even if you have days off, you get your off-season lifting. That's when the lifts start. So we'll just look at it that way. You know, as a year-round thing, 2:30. Right when practice starts. For most people that don't realize it, we don't just show up and roll the balls out and practice. We're not 12 years old. You know, there is a sort of warming up and getting your body ready for a four-hour practice. A four-hour, you know, you're going to be doing conditioning. You're going to be doing, you know, drills. You're going to be doing throwing. Like, I don't just walk to the field and just start throwing a baseball. Like, I got to get my arm prepared. So, you know, I'm getting to the field, you know, 1:30. So I gotta be out of, I gotta be out of class by one. All right. Well, after, you know, the practice, say it lasts 3 to 4 hours, there's a lift in there, by the way. And then whatever other stuff preparation wise that I have to do for the next day, whether it's, you know, treatment, arm care, you know, conditioning, stuff like that. So, you know, I don't get home till, you know, 8, 9 o'clock, somewhere around there. So my class schedule would be from 8 in the morning till, you know, 11, 12 o'clock, around noon, 11, in the morning, noon. So I've got to fit all my classes, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, in that 8 to 12 block. And then I've got to rush my ass to get some food and then rush my ass over to make it to practice. That's every single day, every single day.
Yeah. And you know,
you're telling me I'm a student athlete? Like, well, no, I'm an athlete that just happens to be at class.
And I can tell you, in, you know, that obviously the football players and the basketball players are going to have even more pressure. But,
oh, yeah, because they've got film session and stuff like that. Baseball, like, our film session is more built on your own, like, until you get to pro ball. But, like, you know, film session is based on more of your own kind of mechanics because you don't have film on the team you're playing against or whatever.
Right.
So, like, it's based on yourself. So those sessions don't last as long. But, like, for football, I mean, they're watching film on the other team, their defense, like, what you know, their play calls, like, what are we going to do audible-wise, stuff like that. I mean, go into detail if you want to. Basketball's the same. It's kind of similar. I mean, they're looking at sets, what sets these guys run, what defense they run, like, what do they do on fast breaks, like, stuff like that. I mean, baseball's not that in-depth. Like, we don't really have to worry about stuff like that. Until you get to pro ball, but like as far as college, we just don't get that kind of film on people. So like the film sessions didn't last long, but like you said, it's even longer for football and basketball players, and they have the same type of time frame we do. You know, they've got the football practice, they've got their lifting schedule, and then they also have travel days. People don't realize that we have travel days.
Yeah,
like I have to take an entire Thursday where I miss class just to freaking travel.
Yeah, and especially in the modern, I mean, things have changed since you were playing college ball because the conference realignment, a lot of that stuff happened right after you left. But now
my conference sucked. Well, one week I was in Houston, and then the next week I'm in Memphis, and the next week I'm in Florida. Yeah,
that's still the case for East Carolina. But at least, like, you had, like, you were in the same division with, like, well, Marshall's pretty close, right?
Like, yeah, Marshall's like a 5-hour drive.
Yeah. So maybe, like, I mean, it's always been bad for Conference USA and then the old Conference USA.
Well, now it's bad for the ACC. What happens when Clemson's got to go play fucking Boston College? Or Florida State's got to go play Boston College? I mean, I know it's a straight shot up there, but, like, that's not relatively close. That's a couple-hour flight. I mean, they have connections. I mean, I'm sure that those guys get charter flights for the football and basketball team, but the baseball team doesn't. I've not flown charter for baseball, and I know those guys probably don't. There's not enough money to do that. It's expensive. Right.
Well, how many hours did you take during a spring semester? How many college hours? Did
12.
You take? 12.
Couldn't take any more. Not possible.
That's one of the things I was trying to get at, which I don't think people realize. It's not possible.
18 in the fall. 12 in the spring. You couldn't take more. It's impossible.
And what I'd like, and you know, you pointing that out, I would like to direct themselves to looking at the college basketball schedule. College, you know, the interesting, you know, baseball plays your whole season's in the spring, right? It's all one semester.
The football basketball schedules all, you know, basketball's in two semesters.
Right. So, like, you know, your schedule, you had to sort of try to make things up in the fall and the summer, right?
Exactly. But that's the other problem. what if your coach wanted you to play summer baseball? Now you're screwed.
Now you have no way of graduating on time. Like that just went any shot you had.
Yeah. And I had to play summer baseball twice.
So, you know, that's the reality. I think people talk about student athletes. It's like, all right, that's student athlete thing. So when you're a quote unquote student first, but the thing that your coach is telling you have to do makes it almost impossible for you to be a student first. Mm-hmm. What do we call that? We call those employees.
Yeah.
We call those employees who are partially compensated with a chance to take some college classes.
Yeah. So how about this? So I'm telling you this right now. I was a closer. If I wanted to take a class that was a little later, it was the only time it was offered. My coach would allow it regardless of any player because he wasn't that big of a dick. Like, my coach is, I will say, not that big of a dick because, you know, all coaches have that bit of, like, a dick mentality. They got to get in you a couple times. Like, you know, that's what coaches do. They got to get in, they got to get after you a little bit to get you to, you know, realize that, hey, man, this is not, you know, your show you're running here type thing. So, like, but, you know, if our shortstop, who, you know, that I played with when I was there, you know, before he got, you know, suspended, probably would have been the national player of the year the last year. If that guy wanted to take an afternoon class and miss practice, not happening. Not happening. No, we need that guy there for practice. We need that guy there to take his reps. We need that guy there in case you want to implement a butt play. We want to need that guy there in case you want to implement, like, some sort of bat pick for this weekend. No, that guy's not missing practice because he's got a night class or an afternoon class. Not happening. That's our shortstop. That's our captain of our infield. Not happening. The closer, that's fine, because all he's going to really do is come here and throw, maybe throw a bullpen. He's got to get his conditioning in, stuff like that. We can find time for that later on in practice. You know, we can get him up to speed on the bunt play. But when our shortstop is the guy calling the bunt plays, the guy calling the back picks and stuff like that, he's got to do it with every single possible player that's going to play that day, because if he's not there, nobody understands what the shortstop's going to do. Like, the pitcher, all he's got to do is run that bump play once or twice with the shortstop, and he's like, all right, I got it. I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So that shortstop's screwed far as an afternoon class. No, you can't take that class. Sorry, brother.
I hope that wasn't important to your major. Because I'm just, like, thinking back in my head when I was in college, how many the classes that I had to take for my major and how spread out they, some of them might be in the morning, some of them might be in the afternoon. I had to take like a few night classes, only time that class was offered. And then, you know.
Okay. So say this. So say you can't take the afternoon class. You need it and you got to have it for your credits so you can be eligible to play for. Here's one that really, really grinded my gears because it happened. I had to take a night class during the spring season. Guess when it was offered? Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Guess when we play? Wednesdays and freaking Friday. You know how many times I was in that class? Not very often. You know what happened? I failed that class. Got no help whatsoever. I tried to tell teachers. I tried to tell, you know, all my people that were trying to, like, watch after, quote unquote, like, make sure I did the right things in the class. I'm like, guys, how do you want me to pass this class? I'm never in it. So we play every Wednesday and we play every Friday. I was like, what do you want me to do? I'm there once a week, every week. Like, how am I supposed to pass that class? This isn't elementary school. This isn't high school. This is college.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, when you hear about these dumb athletes can't pass the classes, look at, you know, I'm just thinking about it to myself. And, you know, correct the people. But I'm not the dumbest person in the world. Like, I'm not what I'd call. But there's a lot of times when I was in college where I was like, man, I don't really have time to do, like, this sucks. Like, I'm not gonna do well in this class. Like, imagine, and all I had was a job I had. Like, imagine if I had the level of responsibilities that a D1 athlete like yourself, like, you know, college basketball players, college football players, I would have been fucked. Like, I would have not made for a lot of these classes. Like, I would have just straight up, it would have been a disaster. And, you know, when you hear people talking about the dumb jock can't cut it, it's like a lot of the people who say that are some, like, pampered little rich boy who didn't even have to have a job in college. And
yeah.
It's like, and he got sick. And then he's going to call somebody who's basically working, you know, a full-time job in college. He's going to try to call that dude out. It's just, in some ways it's funny, but it's not, because dudes are getting screwed. Speaking of which, LeBron James had some very pointed comments. LeBron James is kind of historically, it's especially fascinating about LeBron James because
when he speaks, people listen.
Well, that And, you know, the other aspect of it is, you know, he's kind of the last to become like a major player in the NBA who did not go to college.
He's the guy that, you know, we had all these expectations for, and he, the guy that had all that like behind him, and he didn't go to college. Wow.
Yeah.
But yes, you know, he also, what he did say,
he, like, you know, there's so many guys now who like have to prove that. Like, it's just part of, like, the rules that you have to spend this time in college. And, like, he was the last guy who didn't have to, you know, it's, like, basically him, Dwight Howard, and Kobe's out of the league now. So, the, you know,
Kwame
the
Brown, Kobe's, don't forget Kwame.
Who could forget? But, you know, like, the Kevin Garnett's out of the league, Kobe Bryant's out of the league. So, a lot of those guys from straight from the, you know, straight from high school era, you know, they've aged out of the league, and now LeBron's the elder statesman. He's, like, the last of his kind. So I thought his comments about the NCAA were in. One, you know, just
they were
the
called
statement,
damning by a lot of people.
Well, just, like, the idea that there is no, like, the NCAA's always been. And, you know, he basically went straight out saying, like, a lot of schools were throwing money at, like there were a lot of schools trying
come
to
come here for a year. Please, for the love of God, just come here for a year.
And I thought the other thing he said was, like, look, me and my mom had been poor, and I wasn't going to be poor. Like, my mom and me weren't going to be poor anymore. Like, that was part of the deal, which I think the other thing that isn't talked about enough is that the current NCAA system depresses the amount of money that the star players can make. Because they're not getting their fair market value.
Exactly.
They're getting, you know, this black market stuff. And look, people can talk all they want to. When you look at a black market, it's almost like it always makes the prices. Like, you look at the cost of marijuana in states where it's illegal versus in states where it's legal. Like, it's much more expensive in Colorado.
Yes.
So, like, the guys are getting screwed, even the guys who are getting paid. They're not getting paid with, if everybody could only bid on their, and, you know, I think that's a part of what LeBron said that's kind of being glossed over. You know, what's your take on it?
My take on it is he's 100% right. 100%. Like what he said about, hey, me and my mom weren't going to be poor anymore. Well, there was two things about that statement. One, either way he went, they weren't going to be, if he would have taken the money and went to college, they'd have been a lot more well off than they were before. Because LeBron came from freaking nothing. Like nothing. Nothing. Like rags to riches story, you got it right there. So either way he went, but he knew that, all right, I can go do this for a year, maybe two, win a championship, and I'll make this much money. My mom will be fine. I'll be fine. There's the risk of getting hurt, blah, blah, blah. Or I know I'm going to be the number one overall pick, and we're talking about, like, fuck you money. So, like, that was the difference for LeBron. That's not the difference for all these. Like, some of these kids would not be the LeBron number one overall right out of high school.
Right.
But some of these kids would make way more money than they ever would make in college. That's the part that's being glossed over. Even some of these kids that might come out of high school and be a second rounder and make the team, making a shit ton more money than they would in college. Like if they were getting paid under, you know, $40,000 or $100,000 or whatever it was, because we've touched on before, me and you just talking, that $100,000 number really out there. Because most of us know it's just like, hey, we'll give you a $40,000 loan.
Not even like we're giving you the money. It's like a loan.
It's like a loan. We expect this back when you make it big, like endorse some of that money back to us, like buy us a stadium or buy us some cool ass shit or like LeBron
or just
did
like
with
funnel
Ohio.
Us tickets or like
yeah,
you
funnel
know.
Us tickets, funnel us something or like LeBron did with Ohio State and sponsored their whole freaking team with LeBron shit.
Yeah,
like that. I mean, I know he didn't go to Ohio State, but that's the kind of thing they're looking for. So. Like, so it's kind of like a loan, but $100,000 is just like, whoa, what, where did that fucking number come from? And, but these guys know they can make more than that, even being a second rounder and making a team in the league.
Yeah.
So it's just ridiculous to sit there and say, like LeBron said, he's like, we're giving these kids no option. But guess what is even bigger about it that a lot of people called this so damning? Guess who's coming, like, I mean, I know he's very young, but he's going to have some shit coming behind him. He's got some power coming behind him, and he's already been rated as a pretty high-touted prospect, and he's already had a couple offers from D1 schools. It's his fucking son. that guy's coming next. Like, that guy's coming, like, gonna be, like, in high school and gonna be the guy that's getting recruited, gonna be the next guy that you follow on, you know, Ball Is Life or whatever from freshman year on and go, all right, this guy's gonna be a freak. This guy's gonna be the next Zion Williamson or whatever, the freak that's on every YouTube channel. By his time, I think there's gonna be a change in something in the NCAA. I don't know what it is. I don't know what they're headed for. But the NCAA now realizing, shit, we're not even going to get LeBron's kid into college for you. You already don't get the ball. I mean, that's already the first thing that happened. And that's, I mean, like, let's be real about that, though. Like, even if they're not even as good as Lonzo, they're a media frenzy. What does that mean for the NCAA? That means money.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit on the other part of the show, or we're about to. I'm not sure the order of things. But, you know, like, when people talk about amateurism, the thing that they all tend to, like, leave out is that the entire idea of amateur was a way for, like, upper wealthy class to keep poor, especially American, from being able to, like, participate in like the Olympics and in other international sporting competitions. They didn't want, you know, they wanted to rig those, like the Olympics and other international competitions, so that only the rich kids could be participating. Because amateurism, if you say that only amateurs can participate, what you're saying is only people who are independently wealthy participate, because other people got to have a job. Like, yeah. If your dad isn't the sixth Earl of Davershire, then, you know, you have to earn a living somehow. Like, everybody got to pay the bill, unless you're so fucking wealthy you don't have to worry about paying.
Of course.
And that's the whole point of amateurism. Like, they can all doll it up and claim there's some high-minded reason for it existing, which is one of the main things the NCAA does, is with bullshit reasons for why the status quo should continue to exist. But the reality is, this is why it can. And it's worth always keeping that in mind when you hear people talking about the glories of amateurism and how important it is that we maintain amateurism. I mean, it's only there so that a bunch of rich dudes didn't have to play against poor kids.
Exactly. And the thing is, too, is like, you can say what you want about LeBron's comment. You can have any opinion of you want. The guy didn't go to college. You can say he didn't go to college. He doesn't deserve an opinion, or whatever you want to say about it. But guess what? His opinion matters to a lot of people. And that guy makes a lot of money, and he's the face of the NBA. I don't give a shit how many championships he loses. I don't give a shit how many championships the Golden State Warriors win. That guy is the face of the NBA. Name that many people in year 15 are still the most dominant player in their league.
Yeah.
He's got a voice. He's got a very powerful voice. So when his opinion is expressed, people stand behind it. I mean, he's got Nike on his side, for God's sakes. Like, you got one of the damn organizations implemented in this shit, and they got LeBron speaking up going, yeah, the NCAA's corrupt. Not the brand companies, not the agents. The NCAA's corrupt. And now it's like, oh, let's wipe away whatever happened with Adidas, whatever happened with going on with Nike, whatever might have happened with Under Armour.
Yeah.
Let's wipe all that shit away. And see, I don't know the full fact of it, or with what was going on. I heard about the Adidas stuff, but it's like, LeBron said it, so now all that shit's wiped away, because it's like, hey, LeBron's a Nike guy, so he's just saying the NCAA's corrupt.
And let's not leave out the fact that Nike would both love it if it was possible for this shit to all get opened up, so they could start, like, signing dudes earlier, instead of having to have this, like, weird waiting period where, you know, they're constantly having to jockey for guys, but then the guys can't make a decision until years later. Like, they would love to be able to sign dudes. Like, they would love to be able to get their hooks and like, sign a dude's 14 and really get in on the ground floor. They can't do that now because, like, those dudes don't want to give up their chance to play college sports. But if the system was set up where those guys could get sponsors, you know, much earlier, you know, if they could get,
I mean,
you know,
you've heard
if
the you story had the Olympic how UCF model. Is a Nike school, right?
What's up with that?
You've never heard that one?
I haven't.
So they were Adidas when I was a freshman or sophomore in college. Guess who went to UCF to play point guard?
Hit me. Tell me.
A guy by the name of Jordan. Happened to be Michael Jeffrey Jordan's son. He went there to play point guard. What shoe do you think he wear Adidas?
He absolutely was not going to be wearing Adidas. Michael
what
Jordan's
he,
son was not
going to be wearing Adidas. What did he wear? Let's go ahead and tell
the He
people.
Wore Jordans.
Guess what happened? What did they pulled the entire school's, the entire school's sponsorship. You know what happened the next day?
Nike swooped in.
The team was sponsored by Nike. The entire school was sponsored by, like, come on. Like that happened right then and there. That kid wanted to wear whatever the hell he wanted to wear. And Nike come in and goes, all right, cool, sponsor the whole school. Like, that shit kind of, I mean, I know it was Jordan. I know that's an opposite of the spectrum. But, like, what happened if that were to happen? Like, say LeBron did go to Ohio State. And Ohio State was not a Nike sign. Say they were Adidas. And LeBron goes, oh, fuck this shit. I'm here for 1 year, but I'm not wearing Adidas. I wore Adidas in high school, and it was awful. Well, I've worn Adidas baseball cleats. By the way, they're wonderful. But I've never worn Adidas basketball, so I don't know what they're like. What if he said that? Or, like, say they were sponsored by Reebok or Under Armour, and he's like, no, I'm not wearing this shit. I'm wearing Nike. And they pulled it. What do you think Nike's going to do? Pop in real quick and go, hey, yeah, we'll sponsor you. Like, what stops them from doing that? You know what I mean? For one kid. These places own the NCAA, and the NCAA doesn't even see it. They just think because they are judge, jury, and executioner that they think they run these kids. I mean, just like the Ball family taking their kids to Lithuania, they're showing you. NCAA doesn't own shit. If you fight it enough, they'll push back. Like, the NCAA has lost enough lawsuits that just go under the table. So I almost agree with LeBron. It is pretty corrupt. It is pretty fucked up. It is pretty shitty. You give these kids no option. What else are they going to do? The other thing is what's funny is you blame all these coaches. Nobody said a word about these kids that take the money. Why not? Because everybody sympathizes with the kid. They're like, oh yeah, if I was a kid, I'd do the same shit.
Yeah, well, that's definitely a thing. You've got a generation of sports writers who are like, these kids have sullied, these kids have disrespected the glorious honor of athletics. But that's starting to, because, like, basically everybody under the age of 40 is like, well, that's horrid.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, it's like, you got the fans at, like, ASU chanting FBI, Arizona, you got the same thing.
Everything is fanhood, though, also.
Yeah, that's fanhood. But when you boil it down, you tell a guy that's been broke his entire life, that's like, and we're not talking about broke as in, hey, man, I can't afford to buy the new iPhone, or I can't afford to get the new PlayStation that's coming out next week. We're talking about guys that go, I don't know where my meal is. I got no idea how I'm going to. And then when you bring it to that sense, and these kids are getting some money to go to college because they have to go to college, because they have to. Like, people are forcing to go to somewhere, and then they're getting money for it to choose where they go to school. And you're going to set, and then that, now you got guys, like you said, under 40 that are going, oh, yeah, it's all the NCAA's fault. It's all this coach's fault. It's everything. They don't blame the kid. You know why? Because they sympathize with the kid. So why don't you sympathize with the coach for just taking advantage of the system? Going, hey, I got to make money. I got to do the same thing. I got to put food on the table for my family. I get paid a lot of money to win games. This is how it's done.
And I wonder if
it's not only one person doing it. I'm sorry. It's not one person. Even if Sean Miller gets caught and it's come to find out that he did offer $100,000 for whatever player it was, seems to now be not the player that they said it was in the report. It seems to be another guy that they didn't even get. So, like, say it comes out that he did offer it. Why is he so wrong? Because he's obviously not the only guy doing it.
Yeah. And you know, I wonder if part of an opinion is based on the fact that, like, people our age, people a little bit older than us, but especially people in our age, such a high percentage people our age to college as compared to, like, our parents or our grandparents, that, like, we already know, like, hey, this college ain't some, like, magic I'm now rich fucking button that I've pressed. Like, oh, man, I got a degree. Now I'm, like, that's not actually how it works. And, like, when you start trying to tell somebody, well, you got an education, isn't that enough? It's like, well, no, because, like,
no,
plenty
not.
Of us have education. And it's
still
not.
Still not making the money these kids. Some of these kids come out of college and don't make the money these kids made in college, if reports are true.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like, we talk about it all the time in baseball. We get kids that turn down money out of high school. And everybody's like, how could he do that? And then you got guys that were really good high school players that might have needed college, but got a little bit of money and took it to go play baseball, because you can go right out of high school for baseball, which I think NBA needs to go to.
The NBA needs to change that up. I think
the NBA needs to go to the baseball realm of it.
Especially because
you have a choice to go, take the money and go, or if not, you got to stay in college.
like, do you really want, as an NBA team, and, like, baseball teams have known this forever, do you really want, like, Rick Barnes and the college baseball equivalent of Rick Barnes getting a hold of your best players for a year or two? Or do you want those guys being in your system with coaches that you've handpicked who know how to develop players?
Exactly.
Like, what would you rather have? Like, yeah, you want them to... You want, like...
You want them in your system.
Yeah, with, like, people that you can control that you know are good at developing talent, as opposed to some dude whose only real skill is he's able to convince somebody's mama that she should send her kid to play for him.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, like, my thing is, too, is, like, what I tell people on my opinion is, what's life-changing money to you? Life-changing money to me when I was coming out of high school is completely different to what life-changing money would be to LeBron James coming out of high school.
Yeah.
Like, say me and LeBron James played the same sport. What he came from... Life-changing money to him is completely different. So when I hear these kids, you know, that signed for a couple $100,000 and they were like, well, Hita went to college, and then there's a lot of aspects that go into that. Didn't get hurt, developed a little better, and then comes out of college and it's the same and gets a job in pro ball. He might have made more money. That's not guaranteed. Like, you got kids coming out of high school for baseball that also came from nothing. You got these Dominican players that don't know anything but an island, and the only way off of it is to throw a ball faster than fuck, or to hit it farther than shit. So it's like, they just take what's life-changing to them. $100,000 might be life-changing to somebody that came from what LeBron came from. And then $6 million is the life-changing for a kid to go, all right, I was going to be the ace at this big-time school that I was going to, which is awesome, as a freshman. I was going to be their guy. But I just got $6 million. Like, fuck off. I'm going in the draft. See you. Peace. Well, it's back to that fuck you money. Like, there's those kids that get that kind of money. There's like, that's not life changing, period. Like, you're an idiot if you don't take that. But then there's the situation where you get the kids that just take whatever they get because it's life changing and they give up college. Because it's like, hey, man, I got paid a little bit, so that they obviously like me. They obviously invested. So I'm going to get in their system. I'm going to get in there early. So I'm 18 in their system early. And the next thing you know, these kids are 21, 22 making their big league debut. And then down the road, they're making these big contracts.
Yeah.
Because they put in the time, they got in the system early, they got to the big league. Everything worked out perfect. They go to college for 3 years. They get hurt. They never do that again.
Yeah. And you know, there's so many aspects of, like, you know, people, it's just so much of, like, the
building up to NCAA is people who just steadfastly do not want to accept the way the life, and they want everybody else to go do whatever they can to keep their illusion set. They just do not want to have that pulled away from
them. No, not at all. And it's sad, but it's honestly the truth. And like you said, they just don't want it pulled away from them. But I think basketball needs to go to some sort of similar style that baseball does. Give the kid an option. Because if the kid makes the option that I'm going in the draft, and give him a chance to go back. If you're really that big on getting your degree, let him go in the draft. Let him go and try the draft. And if he doesn't get drafted, he still gets to go to fucking school.
Exactly. Exactly. And this is the other big thing that has to let guys get an agent. And it doesn't matter when. Let a guy get an agent when he's 16. Let a guy get an agent if he fucking wants.
Yeah.
That shit is all based around they're afraid that if guys get lawyers, that those lawyers will tell them, hey, you should sue this college. You know, that's all that shit.
And baseball has been doing it for years under the – now it's allowed baseball – in college baseball, you can have an advisor, NCAA sports, but you can't sign any contract. Well, you know what the fucking advisor is? He's an agent. As soon as that contract is signed, guess who that guy just ended up signing with that negotiated the contract for him? The agent. The advisor. He ended up signing with that guy as soon as that contract is signed. Because he did all the work. Like, I'm sorry. If I was a 16, 17, 18-year-old high-touted prospect, I got no idea how the contracts work. I got no idea how to handle contacting the GM and asking for more money or asking for this or asking for that. I got no idea how that works. I need somebody that knows how to handle contracts to do that. So yes, you should be allowed to have an agent, 100%.
And like,
call him an advisor or whatever, you should be allowed to sign with whoever the hell you want.
Yeah, it's and your the other free thing right to
do that.
And the other
thing is your livelihood.
Yeah, and the other thing that's like we always talk about, you know, everybody always talks about that guy shouldn't have left college. He left too soon. He didn't, you know. It's like, well, why? He's not able to get the best representative to tell him the honest truth about what his standing is.
He's also not allowed to make after his season's over, he's got option A, option B. Go in the draft, lose my eligibility. Don't go in the draft, possibly give up a lot of money in case somebody did really, really like me. All it takes is one team. All it takes is one team to like you. Yep. Enough to draft you. And all it took was one team. Tim Tebow to get drafted in the first round as a football player.
Yeah.
All it took was one team. That's all it took. You got 30 of them. You got 32 of them in the NFL, right? 32 in the NFL. You got 30 of them in the MLB. All it takes is one of those teams to like you a little bit to pay you. That's all you're looking for. But guess what? What if it doesn't happen? They don't get option B after that. They don't get option C or D. It's like, hey, okay, you didn't get drafted, but you got two more years of eligibility in college to hone your skills and maybe be like a Buddy Hield type or a Tyler Hansborough type that stayed for 4 years or something like that to get drafted.
And that's what they don't – like, that's what the NCAA is so stupid about so many – that they don't even, like, realize that if you just let dudes get agent and be able to, like, go into the draft and then come back to college, you would get the guy standards that they are really thirsty to have that come back.
How about this? How about crazy? So I was a draft eligible sophomore. Didn't get drafted, but my name was in the draft. Guess what I did after my sophomore year? Played college baseball my junior. I was draft eligible my junior. Didn't get drafted. Got a few phone calls. Met with scouts. My name was in the draft. Didn't get drafted. Guess what I did my senior year? I played college baseball. That does not happen in the – you're not allowed to do that in the NBA. You're not allowed to do that for college basketball. You put your name in the draft in college basketball, that's it. You're done. You do not get to go back to school.
And it's just so insane.
And guess what? Guess what? If I get drafted my junior year or my sophomore year, I get the choice to say, nah, I'm going to go back to school. If you get drafted in the NBA, you don't get that fucking choice. You get drafted. That's it. What if you got drafted by a team you didn't want to go play for? J.D. Drew got drafted by a team he didn't want to play for and went to Indy Ball the next year because he was out of eligibility. Went to Indy Ball the next year and got drafted the year after. That doesn't happen in the NCAA. It doesn't happen in the NBA. But if he would have been drafted his junior year and said, fuck it, I'm going back my senior, he would have been allowed to do
that. This is another thing that the NCAA needs to get through their stupid ass head. The NBA is at war with you. Like, the NBA does not consider you, like, the NFL and the NCAA, like, the NFL looks at them as, like, you're our farm system. You know, if we don't want to hurt you, we don't want to run games on the same day as you, you know, we're perfectly fine with you existing. You make life easier for us. You help market players. You help train players. We're okay with you. We're not
and plus because there's not been too many kids to come out of high school that are ready for them. So they've got that going for them.
And
there's
been plenty of
guys come out of high school ready.
But the NFL looks at them and they're like, you know what? You know, we're cool with the way this setup works. The NCAA or the NBA looks at college basketball and goes, you run games on the same days. You run head to head with us a lot of times. We're not going to do shit to help you.
Our season runs right through March, which is your biggest part of your.
Like, we're not going to do a damn thing to help you.
No.
And the NCAA needs to realize that, and they need to, like, the advantages they have, which change your rules so that dudes can try the NBA and then come back to college. Just like you said. Because this is the reality. The NBA has been able to crush the salaries of young players by screwing around with, like, service time requirements. You got to be in the league so many years before you can be offered a certain kind of contract. If all of a sudden college dudes were like, yeah, you're not paying me enough, I'm going to just come back out. Like, I'm sorry. Like, your system can be whatever the hell you want it to be. I'm just going to go back to college basketball. All of a sudden that changed. If kids can make money in college and they're like, yeah, okay, I'm making some money here, like, you're not paying me, that changes the dynamics a little.
That too. And why is it different from sport to sport? Why is it so much different? Why, if they're going to put this big stronghold on the NCAA college basketball or and to the NBA, why is it so different from sport to sport? Like, Russell Wilson got drafted in the third round and went and played a professional season and got paid to play baseball, and the very next fall year, he's a quarterback for Wisconsin, led him to a Rose Bowl. Why is that so much different? Because it's a different sport? That guy got paid to play a sport and then turned around and went and played a sport?
Or why is it so different that a guy can go and take the MLB draft out of high school and get his money, a la Chris, a la Brandon Whedon, didn't pan out, goes back to school and plays college football, and then goes gets more money in the NFL draft? Why is that so much different?
Well, I mean, if I was really woke, I'd point out that there's a bit of a difference between the racial composition of the average baseball player versus the average football player, and that might have with why the rules are a little bit different.
Yeah,
anyway.
I understand that, but like at its basic point,
it does.
At its basic point, there's
the NCAA's own rules make no
sense. Exactly, they make zero sense. Why is that so much different? The guy got paid to play. He got paid to play.
Which is why every time the NCAA goes to judge, they get like laughed out of court because they come up there and they start talking like the glories of amateurism, the reason why this is important, and then judges just sort of look at them funny and go, "What the fuck are you talking about?
This
is so." Look, I just hope that, you know, all this stuff ends up with, you know, leading to some changes.
I think they're headed. They got to
get worse.
It's going to get worse.
And I hope people like over the website Mike Coughlin, NCAA edits. That would be great.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. It's just going to get worse. They'll find another loophole. They'll find another way to get them to their school. They'll find ways. The best thing
that could happen if so many blue blood programs get caught up in this stuff and start facing NCAA trouble that they just go, okay, fuck the NCAA. All of us blue blood rich kid schools that make a lot of money off athletics, why are we going to pretend we're playing the same sport as other people? And just start their own thing where they play place.
You know where it's going to start is a non-blue blood, like a true non-blue blood, basically running the table all year. Like being the best team in college, being the best team in March Madness, and winning the championship.
And then they just go, why are we even doing
this? Why are we here? Why are we here?
That's what those blue bloods
are going to do. They're going, we got all the money in the world. We've built our program to where it's at because of the money we have. If anybody wants to argue that, want to say, no, it's because of the players. No, it's because of the money you threw at these. I don't want to hear it. So, like, they did everything they had to do to be a blue blood program, and they're going to let it fall apart over something like this? No, they're not. They're going to do exactly what you said they did. They're going to branch off and do their own thing, or they're going to watch it for a year, maybe 2 years, win a championship that's not blue blood, that goes out, does what the NCAA, quote-unquote, wants them to do, and recruit players the right way and get them there and be the student athlete to win a championship or two and to be the best team in college. And they're going to go, fuck this.
So go Villanova. You're playing for all of us. With that news, you know, we went long. It's been a great bullpen segment, Seth. We'll see you next week. Any final thought?
Yeah. You'll never catch me coaching in college.
I think I just accidentally fucked your whole career up.
No. Hey, if I ever coach, it'll be obviously coaching in college is a profession because those guys get paid ridiculous. But it will be with, you know, developing talent for a professional team. I can't even say professional team because fucking North Carolina is a professional team. But for a major sports, like a major league sport, like Major League Baseball, if I were to end up in coaching somewhere or developing talent, it would be at the major league level. It would not be in college. I've seen enough of the NCAA and how until drastic changes are made in the NCAA, you will never catch me in a third base coaching box or in a bullpen anywhere in college. It's just... It the heartache and the bullshit's not enough for me to sit there and wear that kind of, like, I couldn't do it. Won't ever do it. I think.
Well, let's never say never, coaching, Seth. I don't want to podcast your way out of a game.
No. Like, even if, say I was done playing baseball tomorrow and I got offered a pitching coach job, one, I probably wouldn't be able to take it. But two, I don't think I would get. I honestly don't. I can honestly say that I don't. I would not take it. There's no chance in hell I would take a pitching coach job at any collegiate level because I can't lie to kids. Like I've become really honest playing professional baseball. I cannot lie to a kid sitting here telling him, you know, hey man, what we're doing right here is developing. No, you're putting food on my table, bro. I'm not developing you. I'm taking the best talent that's available right now and putting them on the mound. That's what I'm doing. So that's what I know what my coaches. It just so happened that I learned as much as I possibly could from those coaches. But they had to do the same thing. They had to put food on their table, so they put the best available that did not have to be taught. So those teaching moments were in the fall. If you didn't get it in the fall, you weren't playing them. So there's my final thought. I don't care how good of a coach I ever end up being. If I end up coaching at all, I'll never do it at the NCAA level until drastic changes.
With that said, let's turn it back to Zach. Take it away, Zach. Oh, Mitch, I forgot you changed your name.
And we're back from the bullpen. Wild talk, Dan.
This is a good bullpen, as always. Always great to talk to Zach.
I thought who knew that John Rocker was a crisis actor? That's wild. That is a conspiracy.
I mean, even John Rocker could not resist the siren song of George Soros.
So let's jump in.
The globalists try to kick me off of YouTube.
Let's jump into the final two things we're going to talk about. I want to save the biggest for last, obviously. Let's talk just various NBA news. Dan, have you been following properly?
I always do my best to properly follow all news.
Yeah. So I want to talk this. We didn't get to talk about last week the Kawhi Leonard Spurs drama. You don't really hear this kind of stuff coming out of the Spurs for, the past two decades. Now we kind of see it with Aldridge asking for a trade, Leonard being distant. But it seems like the Spurs are really good at working this out because they re-signed LaMarcus Aldridge to an extension. Leonard might play by the end of the playoffs or by the beginning.
That's all pop. I mean, it's not that's one of those things where, you know, the front office gets to be like dicks and then pop smooths it all out.
Yeah. Because, I was ready to, kind of come in this week and kind of talk about where could Leonard end up this summer. And, now it's like he's probably not leaving, you know? Because, that was a pretty exciting possibility of Leonard, maybe. Because all of a sudden, LeBron and the Lakers looked a little more realistic. If Leonard's in play and wants to be traded. But looks like he's staying there, and Pops continues to flirt hard with LeBron. I don't know if you saw that over the weekend there.
Well, and not in a way that's tampering, but yeah.
Yeah, they're flirting. He's pretty much flirting with LeBron right in front of his husband. So it's pretty wild.
Well, that's because he's an alpha. And alphas don't care about the opinions of betas or whatever.
But let's jump to this other one. The Cavs, they look good after the trade. Kind of struggled a little bit. Is it time to start worrying again about Cleveland?
Their defense is going to be bad.
The defense is just going to be bad because LeBron can't play good to great defense until the playoffs.
I think the other thing is that, when the trade happened, LeBron was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to play really hard the first few games to show everybody this can work. And then once, you know, you've got, a proof of concept, it's like, all right, I'm going back into legs rest mode.
Yeah. Because it's like, I need these guys, too, to gain some confidence. Because, I need George Hill to hit that three-point shot, you know? I don't think there's an issue because it's just LeBron's going to turn up to another level in the playoffs. And, people can get mad about that, but that's just the truth of this long-ass NBA team you have. It probably needs to be shortened by 10 games. Guys got to rest because things get intense in the playoffs, and there ain't a lot of breaks when you're playing that hard. So
that's
for sure. I don't think there's any reason to panic if you're Cleveland. I think your chances of going to the finals are still better than they were a month ago. So, and just by being in the finals, you always have a chance. Because that team, the Warriors playing could crash. Draymond Green could get caught fucking Ayesha Curry. A lot of stuff could happen. So
anything and everything is possible.
Anything could happen in the NBA. And the last NBA, I want to talk about this. It's kind of like a topic over All-Star Weekend recently. Should the playoffs be reformatted, Dan?
Absolutely.
Not will they. Should they?
It will be, and it should be.
Yeah.
If anything, I would say fuck the East. Let's play a balanced schedule and just take this top 16 records. Who cares where they come from?
Well, I don't think that's just something that would happen with the owners. But they're losing money. But I think they said, every Western Conference owner voted for that, which they probably would. You only need five teams from the East to do that.
And realistically, I mean, you look at why is the East perpetually not good? It's because they never really get to bottom out. I mean, look at what Philadelphia had to do to finish in the bottom.
Yeah.
And even then, they routinely had teams from the West who were significantly better than them finishing, you know, right close to them at the bottom of the league. Because when you get, you know, there's an unbalanced schedule. So if you're in the East, you're playing more East teams. And so even if you're not very good, you're going to pick up some wins playing in the East against other East bottom feeders.
The solution, though, is 1 through 16, 8 from each conference, cut the season by 10 games, and maybe kind of balance that schedule a little bit better, where you're not just playing the team from your division board. Because if you cut out 10 games, you can kind of get rid of some of that shit, you know? And, like, you can say, well, better hurt a 10. Well, not really. Like, are the Hawks, like, really missing out and not playing the Hornets two extra times? They can't be making money off those games, you know? Like, it's got to cost more to run that arena than to have, like, 2,000 people in there to, like, boo Dwight Howard. So, I think that's the win-win, and like, you got to cut down. Like, you see all the injuries. It's just it's time to cut out. Basketball is a year-round sport. There's no reason to have 72. Time to go down to 62, I think.
I'm all for it.
All right, let's cut to our last topic of the week, Dan. That's going to be your girl, Ronda Rousey. It's my boy, Miss McMahon's promotion. How's this going so far?
I think it's easily the best book thing they've done in forever. The problem they are running into is that as every movie that's ever tried to hire Ronda Rousey, she can't act to save her life. And so she's kind of having a hard time getting through some of this stuff. But
you can mean that's the advantage of wrestling, though, where like you can just have her mean mom most of the time.
It's just the bit leading up to that she has to get through where it's a struggle.
Yeah, but it looks like it's gonna like I just thought it was her in the ring and on the promo was like night and day from like where she was at that pay per view to where she was with Raw Monday night. I just feel like it's going to, like, I think I was telling you earlier, Dan, it feels like the most WrestleMania thing they've done in, like, 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's a major angle with a major celebrity instead of...
And a show that needs a major, you know, because, like, going into this, ain't much to be excited about from, like, a spectacle perspective.
What, you don't want to see Brock versus Roman 17 or whatever?
I think that'll be fine. I think, like, Styles, Nakamura, whatever. But, like... You need, like, it's WrestleMania. You need a goddamn spectacle. It sounds like a more like a SummerSlam main event. You need spectacle for WrestleMania. You need stupid, you need fireworks and bullshit. That's what's fun about it. You need Bam Bam Bigelow versus Lawrence Taylor.
I mean, the big key is gonna be, does Ronda Rousey's female audience turn in to watch pro wrestling? You know, she brought this huge female audience to mixed martial arts, to UFC. Can she do that for wrestling, or have her fans moved on?
I feel like it's still like 2 years too late for that kind. I think like the moment of strike was what when her and The Rock did the thing. You couldn't make that work for obvious reasons, but I don't know. I think it'll help, and just their base of women talent now. So like, there's something for kind of every type of woman or girl to kind of look up to. I think.
Yeah, but how many of them like give a shit?
Well, we'll find out. You know, like, we're in this kind of new territory. But, like, people are, I mean, you can argue the women's stuff, like, as bad as it's been booked or presented or whatever, pretty damn over compared to where it used to be, you know? Especially when you look on the web and stuff, which can kind of inflate the numbers, but, like, they weren't talking about, like, the Tori Wilson era like this on the internet.
Obviously not. Like, you go back into the old days and no women watched those women. Yeah. Like, those women were exclusively there for men to ogle them.
Yeah. And, like, now they're legitimate, interesting characters. I mean, you look at what they're doing in developmental on NXT, like, there's a shit ton of women. And they're all pretty damn interesting, you know? Yeah. And even some of the newer, like, I look at, like, a Ruby Riott on SmackDown, and, like, once she can maybe get a chance to kind of be, like, a face, I think she's going to be huge with girls, you know? Especially girls who might be more attracted to wrestling. And you are seeing, like, maybe it's just the Twitter bubble on me, Dan, but I think you are seeing, like, a lot more women getting into wrestling. Because, like, left Twitter is, like, here's a subscription to WWE Network and a copy of Communist Manifesto. It's, like, the weird thing. But I think it'll work. I don't think it's going to all be because of Rousey. I think it's because Triple H and whatever has done a good job preparing for this. And maybe it was just him having a daughter and going, like, oh, I need to push my daughter in 20 years. So I need to
build up the money. He's playing that long game.
What I've always thought. I've always thought, like, this is 100% for one of
them. He's just trying to get ready so that when Aurora steps up, ready to get that big push.
Well, he's got, what, like, three daughters?
Yes.
Yeah. But no boys. Like, Triple H had a boy, you wouldn't see this. I think it's 100% for his daughter. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. But
hey, people act out of self-interest.
But the reality thing has been fun, and I think WrestleMania might be fun this year. Be the first fun one in a couple of years, so that'd be nice. You got anything else, Dan, before we get out of here?
I'm beat. It's been a long week. I just want to say I love you all.
All right.
Positivity.
Before we get out of here, some more positivity. Fuck you. To the Queen of England. To the nation of Australia. Here's our third one. To the nation of Canada. Good job, Justin Trudeau. Like, what did he do in India? Just shit on the flag?
He just showed up in like,
he tried to wear
like Indian garb, and apparently they all looked at that and went, like they just made like, you know, the dribbling noises at him.
It's like if George W. Bush like went to West Africa in his presidency and like put on a dashiki. It's like, yeah, that's what they wear, but like you're a white guy. Like, you know?
Like, it comes across as extremely patronizing. Like, yeah. Everything else Justin Trudeau does. Like, when he was like, well, it's not mankind, it's people kind. Which is like,
it's herstory, good sir.
Like, it's like the dumbest version of being woke. Where it's like, you're just hung up on, like, certain words and not...
Yeah, like, the stupid, like, intellectual woke, where it's like, it doesn't matter to anyone outside of, like, 10,000 people who went to Ivy League school. Also, like, what, he invited some, like, terrorists at one of his galas or dinners or something? And I'm assuming he just came in with, like, a big old steak. And, like, was handing out steaks. And was like, what's wrong? I don't know if you know this, Dan, the cow is sacred in India. You've heard about this. So. Wild stuff. So yeah, that's my fuckies of the week. So once again, the Queen of England, Justin Trudeau, and as always, Australia. Fuck you, Australia.
Well, like I said, I have no fuck yous. I have nothing but peace and love. Peace and love. Just like Ringo Starr. And on that note, we say, fuck the Queen! Play the music, Jason.